music, teaching, and more at AD70.net, broadcasting live 24 hours a day from the New Jerusalem. I want to welcome you back to another edition of Kingdom Christianity. John Noe joining me out of Indianapolis. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving, Michael.
And what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to eat a turkey.
Well, that's...
You got any in mind?
Wow, that was funny. You got any in mind?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe some ham. So I'm already starting to salivate. You know, over that. So on Thursday morning, I 2 weeks from today, right? I will not eat anything. I will fast until noon, and then I will gorge. And then I will spend all afternoon resenting what I did and having to live with it.
Right.
Oh,
well,
there's no self-control.
There is something biblical about Thanksgiving, and that is it is a day of salivation.
A salvation. Oh, man, you got that right.
Now, John, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a deep-fried turkey?
Yes, I did. I did that once, as a matter of fact, out in my driveway, and I swore I'd never do that again. What a mess that was.
Let me tell you, we
still have that deep fryer.
Yeah, it's a one-time-use item.
You
know, those things, too, when you really look at them, it looks like something that comes out of a drug manufacturing plant. I mean, they look dangerous.
I thought I was running a meth lab or something like that.
You know, I wasn't going to say it, but that's exactly what I was thinking. And when you're looking at this thing cooking, you're like, do I really want to be close enough to this thing? Because if it explodes, it's going to melt everything. And you
got to be careful how you load that turkey in there, or it can blow up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't remember why that is, but I do know that was part of the instructions.
You can put
that turkey in there wrong.
Yeah.
And it can blow up.
I think it has something to do with rapid temperature change.
Yes, or moisture in a turkey or something. You don't want to put it in there frozen. Maybe that was it.
Right.
It'll blow up on you.
Right. One of our listeners says, buffet your body. And I'm thinking, in the chat room, I think what he meant to say was buffet your body.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, Michael, we're going to do a new topic today. In Kingdom Christianity, it's related
uh-huh.
to what we've been doing on the greater works, as you will see,
mm-hmm.
And certainly ties directly into the kingdom. And that's the whole idea of what I'm calling sonship. And the question that we want to address today is there a difference between being a child of God versus a son of God? Now, I was always told that those two phrases, sons of God or children of God, mean the same thing, and that all Christians are sons and all Christians are children of God. And there's no difference. And when I checked out a long list of commentaries, they all agreed, that they were the same thing. But as I studied this several years ago, and I've taught on this maybe five or six times in various places, I discovered that there are different Greek words that are used for child versus son. And I also discovered that there are different characteristics that are applied or assigned to children than those that are applied or assigned to sons. And so what I did was I did a pretty basic word study, and I listed in a column on the left what I call my child of, if you take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle of it and have a column on the left and a column on the right. On the left, I put a column called child of God, and on the right, son of God. And I listed a number of verses that used Greek words that mean child,
mm-hmm.
and listed those verses and read them, and then on the other side did the same thing for those who meant son. And on the child side, there are two words that are used.
Now, John, real quick, John, let me just let our listeners know that they can actually follow along with us if they like. We're trying to make this a little bit more interactive today. And if you go to, just type in your browser, ad70.net/sonship, that will give you the option to download a Word document that actually has this lesson that we're going through, so you can follow along with us. Once again, that's ad70.net/sonship. And if you are listening to this as a podcast, you'll want to head back over to the podcast page, and you can download that link from there as well.
All right. That's great, Mike. Thank you for putting this together.
No problem.
So that they can have that. Now, so if you go to the left, and by the way, this is what we call action notes. If you download it, it's two pages, and there are blanks that to be filled in. That's why it takes action to make them notes. So on the first column on the left, it says a blank of God. We'll put child in that, child of God. And on the right-hand column at the top, it says blank of God. Put son. So you have a child column on the left and a son column on the right. And under the left column of child of God, there are two Greek words that are listed there for you on the action notes that are properly translated as child. And the first one is technon, T-E-K-N, T-E-K-N-O-N, and it means a little child or just birthed. And the other word in the New Testament that's also properly translated as child is nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S, and it means a babe without full power of speech or childish, you know, in that realm.
Right.
And those are the two words we're going to look at and verses that use those words on the left-hand column. Then on the right-hand column, the Greek word that is used for son, properly translated as son, is huios. That's H-U-I-O-S, and it means son. And huiosia, which means adoption of sons. And that's the column, again, on the right under the heading of Son of God. And what we want to do is compare what Scripture has to say for technon and nepios, i.e. child of God, with what Scripture has to say for huios or huiosia, son or our adoption of sons, and see, are they really the same thing or are there differences here? So I'll kind of walk you through this, and I'll just do it the way I've done it. I mean, there's a number of ways you could go through it, but I'll just walk you through it like I have it. And so let's start on the left-hand column underneath child of God. Are you with me, Michael?
I am.
The first blank there, put in John 1:12. That's right next to the word technon. See that there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if we go to John 1:12 and we read that in the NIV, it says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Now, that's technon. That's that word. However, if you're reading in the original King James, King James mistranslates that as sons. Yes, and that is a mistranslation, as we will see. All right, then go over to the first blank there on the right-hand column underneath Son of God. And write Romans, R-O-M is enough, 8:14, and that's huios. So let's turn to Romans 8:14 and see what that says. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not technon, that's huios. So those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Now, Michael, I was always told, again, sons, you know, and children all mean the same. And I just wondered how many Christians, present company obviously excluded, do you know who are led by the Spirit?
Well, hold on. I got caught up there when you said present company excluded.
Well, of course. But how many Christians are led by the Spirit? I mean, is it if you become a Christian, are you automatically just led by the Spirit? Mm. Well, that's what the commentators seem to say.
Right.
But that doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, if you look at, you know, at before that in Romans, Paul had just spent two whole chapters exhorting the Romans to live that kind of life.
Right.
Well, why did he have to do that if it was automatic? And exhorting them to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Well, if it was automatic, then, you know, why go to that kind of extreme? And what about in chapter 7 of Romans? You know, Paul was struggling with this. In his famous chapter, I can't do what I want to do, and, you know, I know that there's nothing good lives in me and my sinful nature, for I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I mean, Paul was having a struggle
right.
doing this. And what about believers in the Bible who did not live according to the Spirit, like some of those in Corinth, for example, in 1 Corinthians 3? And what about Hebrews 5, for example, where whoever the writer of Hebrews is, Paul or his wife Pauline, you know, Pauline theology?
Of course.
little theological humor, very little.
He said very little.
Like in Romans 5, for example, 11 through 12, the writer of Hebrews says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food." I mean, come on. Would you say those believers are being led by the Spirit back then? And what about the messages to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, where Christ is calling them to overcome things that they were not doing right? So, you know, and by the way, another question, you know, how often and to what degree does a person need to be led by the Spirit in order to know that he is a son? He or she is a son.
Right.
So the more I begin to think about this and look around and, you know, even look at my life, I realize, hey, there, you know, not all Christians are led by the Spirit. At least it didn't appear that way to me. How about to you, Michael?
You know, again, I do my best to simply judge the fruit that's on the tree.
Well, let's look at some more scriptures then. So let's go back over to the left-hand column, to the second blank next to the word technon, which means, again, little childbirth. And that word is also used right after the passage we just looked at in Romans 8. If we go down to Romans 16, for example, 8:16.
Romans 8:16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." That's technon. Now, if we are children, that is technon, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we, and note this word, may also share in his glory. Now, that is a very interesting passage that sets up a very interesting reality. And that is this whole idea of heir. And what is it? You know, an heir is an heir of an inheritance, right, Michael?
Yes, sir.
And we want to look at that because that is real critical here. So what he's saying here is, Paul saying here, this is Paul. He is saying that if we are children, then we are heirs. That we may, well, we may also not share, as we will see. But we may, but we can't share in it unless we are children. I mean, that is obvious here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now look back at 15 above that for a minute. 8:15, and this is on the right-hand column. And it says this, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship." Notice it didn't say anything about being a child, and that word there is weousia, means adoption of sons.
Right.
Now, let's go down to verse 21. This is on the left-hand column, where he goes back and he talks about being a child. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That is technon there. Look at verse 19, however. And I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but hopefully you can follow me. We're on the right-hand side.
Right.
The creation awaits... The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That's weos. Now, wait a minute. Paul is talking about how we are children. And now he's saying, but the creation is still waiting for the sons to be revealed. Michael, to me, that sounds like these are not necessarily the same thing. What do you think?
I think it's just doublespeak on Paul's part.
Oh, you do. Well, that's one of the explanations.
Really? Really?
Yes. Oh. You know, it's so confusing. Who can understand it? What the heck? You know, where do you want to go have lunch? You know, don't get wrapped up in all these little tidbits.
Yes.
But it seems like to me that there seems to be a difference here, or might be a difference here. Well, we're not done yet. Let's go to... Go to 1 John.
Okay.
Chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. Now, we're on the child side again.
Yeah, I used to sing this song. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
That we should be called the children of God. That is technon. And that is what we are. Okay, so Paul is saying what we are is children. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. Again, technon. And what we will be has not yet been made known. What were we going to be that has not yet been made known? I'm going to suggest that is sonship. But that's C. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Now, something interesting. King James mistranslates this. Once again, and translates it as sons, not children. But that word, technon, again, means little child birthed. Okay, go back to Romans 8 again. Look at verse 23. And we're on the right-hand side, weousia. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. Now, Michael, once again, that hadn't happened yet. At that particular time when Paul is writing.
Right.
We're still awaiting this, is what he's saying, right?
Right. So are you kind of leading to the point of, you know, the difference between technon and weos or weousia, the idea of a child growing up into sonship and obedience?
Ah, perhaps.
Okay.
Let's see. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I hope this isn't too tedious for you.
No, you know what? I grew up in the Calvary Chapel movement, and they used to jump around in the Bible all over the place trying to show us how prophecy was being fulfilled in our day. So I got quite used to this sound.
That's not necessarily a positive affirmation.
Hey.
That's why I wanted to provide you with these action notes. So we could keep some organization here. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul said, and this is on the technon side, but this is where nepios comes in. Again, nepios means babe without full power of speech. Now, that's a pretty young child, right?
Right.
Without full powers. So that this is what Paul uses. This is the word he uses when he says, verse 11, when I was a child. He's saying, when I was a nepios, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish ways. That's the word nepios. Now go to the other side of the column under sonship to Galatians 3, verse 26. All right, we're getting down to the good stuff here. Where Paul says to whoever he's talking to there, he says, you are all weos of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He's saying that all of them who he's talking to there are sons. And look, and then let's go down, look at verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, we have seen before, didn't we, Michael, mm-hmm. that you, if you are a child, you are an heir, right?
Right.
Now, what is an heir? H-E-I-R. What is an heir? An heir is somebody who has the promise but doesn't have the stuff yet, right?
Right.
Who hasn't come into their inheritance yet. He just has the right to it someday out in the future, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what an heir is. Look what happens now in verse 1 of chapter 4. What I am saying, Paul says, is that as long as the heir is a child, that's nepios, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. Wow! He is no different than a slave. In other words, he doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any authority. He just has the promise of that coming someday, as long as he is a nepios child. Look, go to the other side, the sonship column, Son of God column. Go down to Galatians 4, verse 5 through 7. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That's weos. Because you are weos, sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. Do you see the difference here?
Right.
Becoming clearer and clearer, don't you think, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you stay a child, you're no better than a slave regarding this heirship that you have, regarding this inheritance. It's only as you become into sons, into sonship, that you receive the full rights of sons. Not the full rights of children, but the full rights of sons. Interesting, I thought. Go back to verse 3.
You know, I definitely think that this is a really good point, and I'm glad you decided to kind of take a little bit of break from the direction we're going to look at this, because this is another one of those places where sometimes our English translations, at least in some sense, do more harm than good.
Oh, yes. I'll talk about that a little bit later after we get through this. But look at verse 3 of Galatians 4. And this is on the nepios side, the child of God side. Verse 3, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. That's nepios.
Okay.
Now let's see what Paul has to say about it in Ephesians. And this is on the right-hand side again. Weousia. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Notice it didn't say child.
Right.
He predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Interesting. look at Ephesians 4, 13 through 15. This is on the nepios, or child of God, side. In that column, 4, verse 13 through 15. Now, here we go, Michael. This is what you brought up earlier.
Alrighty.
Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be, what does your version say?
We will no longer be children tossed to and fro.
That word is nepios. We will no, mine says infants, but the word is nepios. We will no longer be nepios, children, infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will be in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So we will no longer be children. What will we be? I'm going to suggest weos,
nice.
Sons. All right? Let's go back over to the weos column, sons of God column, and I'm going to take you to Matthew. Jesus even talked about this. Matthew 5. In the Beatitudes, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called weos of God, sons of God. Now, little children aren't peacemakers. And look at verse 44 and 45. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons, weos of your Father in heaven.
Right.
Now, I mean, pray, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. These people are, these are believers who are children. But he's calling them into sonship. Is that clear to you, Michael?
No, I see exactly what you're saying here. And again, this is one of those things that I never really considered that there was too much difference. I just thought it was one of those liberty things when it came to the translation of it. But it is making sense when you start looking at these things side by side.
All right, let's go back over to the nepios side again. Let me give you another one. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1. Paul, in admonishing the Corinthians, says this, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere nepioses in Christ. That my version says infants. Does yours say child, children?
Babes.
Babes. That word is nepios. Now go over to the sonship side, right column. Under weos, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 8. And you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, that word is weos. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. We're not talking about children here. We're talking about sons. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as sons. That word is weos. Everywhere it's used here. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children. Wow. Look at look at Hebrews 2:10.
Illegitimate children. Which is better?
Compared to sons.
Now, which is better, an illegitimate child or you are children of your father, the devil?
I think that is obvious, don't you? and by the way, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
All right.
All right. Look at Hebrews, again, on the son side of our right-hand column, under weos. Here it is again. Hebrews 2:10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. That is weos. That's not children. That's sons. And look, let me give you one more. The last one there, if you follow me in the blanks. Revelation chapter 21. Talking about the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to earth. When we all know that's covenantal. It's the community of overcoming saints. Now, is everybody in the church an overcomer? Well, why would John spend so much time about admonishing them to overcome throughout the whole book of Revelation if all believers were naturally overcomers? But look what he says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my what? Son. Weos. All right, that's enough right now. So what we've done, Michael, if you follow me and those out there listening, if you followed on the action notes, is we have two different Greek words that are properly translated as child, mistranslated in the original King James Version in a couple of places, technon and nepios. And on the right-hand column under son, we have weos and weosesia, meaning son or adoption of son. And there are, I'm suggesting, just on the passages that we've gone through, and those are the main ones. There are others, but those are the main ones. There is a huge difference. Now, between being a child of God and being a son of God, at least it appears that way to me. Now, all of these are believers. Right. Heaven-bound, saved, believers. But there are some who choose to remain children and are no better than a slave and never enter into the inheritance. But there are others who are obedient, who enter into the inheritance and take their inheritance. Now, here's a couple of other we can see this dichotomy in a couple of other places in Scripture where these terms and words are not used. Like, for example, go to 2 Peter.
By the way,
chapter 1.
By the way, my little Madeline just brought me in a bowl of grapes.
Oh.
You know, I just discovered something last night, John, that I've never had before. Medjool dates. You know what I'm talking about, dates? The little fruit that are kind of dried up?
Uh-huh. I don't know what those kind are that you just mentioned.
Medjool, I believe, medjool. Anyways, these things are like candy. I cannot believe. they're like 120 calories each, but, so delicious.
Ooh, goodness. All right, that's your thing this week, right?
Yes, I'm having a lot of dates this week. Wait.
All right. Yeah. Now let's take a look at this same dichotomy here, even though these words are not used in this passage. But I think we can see it plainly illustrated here. 2 Peter 1, let's start with verse 5 through 9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if notice the conditional phrase there?
Mm-hmm.
For if, and by the way, he's talking to believers here. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed of his past sins. I believe that whole passage, Michael, is talking about the same thing Paul was talking about, the difference between being a child and staying a child versus maturing into sonship.
Right.
And of course, we already did the Hebrews 5:11-13 passage. Look at. I think we can see this in the Old Testament too. Go to Jeremiah.
All right.
In the J's. Jeremiah 1. Now, obviously, this is Hebrew, so we're not using Greek here. I didn't bother to check this out in the Septuagint, but anyway, look at this. Verse 6 through 10. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to... This is Jeremiah being called... This is the call of Jeremiah by God, or from God to Jeremiah. Ah, sovereign Lord, says Jeremiah, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and to plant. Michael, that's the greater works. That's what the sons do, and the children don't do. I suggest. That's what we are called to do. That's what sons do.
Right.
Now.
Now, you know, I don't mean to push this kind of to an extreme here, but Jesus, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Now, now some people are going to say, well, that was talking about Jesus. Other people were going to say there was a near fulfillment in the immediate context. Are they not the same thing?
We're talking about believers in Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
The word son is used in a number of different ways. What I'm suggesting is there is a dichotomy here between being, I mean, Jesus was a child once, right?
Right.
All right. But he didn't, you know, there's a number of different ways that that's used. I'm saying in looking at believers in Jesus Christ, there are, it seems to me that there are two different categories. Children. And all believers are children of God. But I'm suggesting that what it looks like to me from what we're seeing in Scripture when we lay these out like this, that the characteristics of sons are different from those of children of God.
Right.
And so, by the way, I think we can also see this same dichotomy, for example, in John, when Jesus talked about this in John. Oh, not talk about this per se, but talk like this in John 15, verse 1, where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so it can be ever more fruitful. You know, that goes back to the Hebrews passage, you know, of he disciplines his sons. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And then he says this. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Doesn't, Michael, that tie into being led by the Spirit?
Yes.
It is the sons that are led by the Spirit. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If notice the conditional there. If, he said, this is the second time he said, use that word, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If, there it is again, anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I think to me, what Jesus is saying here, Michael, is he's admonishing them to become sons. They are already his disciples. They are already children of God. Well, not at that time, because Jesus hadn't died. Excuse me. But they are his disciples. Let me correct myself on that. Get back here in the proper time of redemptive history. He is calling them into sonship in what will soon take place. Now, Jesus, isn't it interesting here that Jesus puts up a dichotomy of where he says, like verse 5, if a man remains in me and I in him. Notice he talks about I in him and him in me. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I in him and him in me. Now, this is another place where I've had conversations leaders, pastors, and so forth, looked in commentaries, where they say that's the same thing. You know, if you received Jesus into your life, you know, went forward, said the sinner's prayer, you know, at church camp or at your church or whatever, or in the privacy of your bedroom, and invited Jesus into your life, then he's in you and you are in him. They're all the same thing. It's kind of like this whole mishmash with there's no difference between being a child of God and being a son of God. Well, what does Scripture have to say about that? Look at 1 John, for example. Chapter 2, verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him being Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, that is a metaphor for must do what Jesus had been doing. Must walk in his shoes, so to speak. That's the works. That's the works. Must. I'm going to suggest that we see this same dichotomy here, that, you know, you can be a saved, heaven-bound believer, born-again believer, and have Christ in you, and you not be in him. But you cannot be in him unless he is in you. I'm going to suggest that we now need to move to the second page of the action notes.
Okay.
You got it there?
Sonship is our...
All right. Here's what I'm going to say. All right. So we think there may be a difference. Let's just leave it like that for right now. Between being a child of God and being a son of God. You can't be a son unless you're a child. But you can be a child and not be a son. I think we can make a case for that based upon the passages we've looked at. Now, the child is an heir. H-E-I-R. And an heir has an inheritance. Right, Michael? So here is what the blanks in the second page of the action notes. Here's how it should read. Sonship is our inheritance right. Inheritance right. R-I-G-H-T. Just as the promised land was the inheritance of the Israelites. In fact, I'm going to suggest that's the typology. That's the type for this. And what we're going to see in a minute is the anti-type, or the fulfillment of this type.
Okay.
So it should read, sonship is our inheritance right, just as the promised land was the inheritance of the Israelites. Turn to Matthew 25. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. And what is that inheritance? The kingdom. prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's the antitype. That's the fulfillment. The type was the promised land in the Old Testament economy. And what they were to do, we can learn a lot about how we take our inheritance in the New Testament economy by looking at how they were to take their inheritance, the promised land, in the Old Testament economy. But that's the inheritance. And notice that you have to take it. I mean, it requires, as we will see, active efforts to go take it. It's not like you won the lottery and the check just shows up in your mailbox and you go cash it at the bank and live on Easy Street for the rest of your life. Not at all. The inheritance, which every child is an heir to this inheritance, has to be taken the same way or in a similar type way, might be a better way to say it, as the inheritance in the Old Testament economy was. They had heirship to that, but they had to go in and take it. Look at Galatians 5, for example, verse 21. Talking about some of this stuff. Let me start at verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Stop right there, Michael. That applies to both believers and unbelievers. Would you agree? That's why there are exhortations about all this. And he says this, I warn you, as I did before. Now he's talking to believers. He's talking about life in the Spirit. He says, I warn you. Now that warning is a real warning, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There it is. There's the inheritance again. They are not being led by the Spirit. They are childish. They are not. They are mature. They are not going in and taking their inheritance right. They won't even be allowed to take their inheritance right. Look at James, chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, God has not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith. Listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him? He's promised that kingdom. That is our New Testament inheritance. Again, the type is the promised land in the Old Testament. But we have to go take it the same way, or in a similar way, that they had to take the promised land that God had also promised and delivered to them. How were they going to do that? Well, let's go back and see what we can glean from the Old Testament in how they had to take that promised land that God had given them. Let's just do a few here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. See what God told them about this.
Do you say Exodus 23?
Exodus 23, verse 20 and following. Okay, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
God says, see, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to prepare and to bring you into the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Notice how you have to follow, be led by that spirit, that angel, that has a corollary in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion since my name is in him. That has a corollary in the New Testament and being led by the Spirit. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that he says, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. But if you don't, guess what, Michael? You're going to get a whooping.
You're going to be opposed.
You're going to be opposed, and you're going to get sat back on your what? Whatever. He said, my angel will go ahead of you and will bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Fizzleites, electric lights, and mosquito bites, and all them. And I will wipe them out. But they still had to go in and press their way in. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. That corollary is you know, relates to being led by the Spirit, not by the flesh in the New Testament. You must demolish them. Notice they had to go out and take it. God didn't go in and demolish it, and then they just walked in and set up camp.
Right.
They had to go, you must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land, and I will give you full life span. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation and encounter. Michael, the corollary in the New Testament is the greater works. Taking, going in and taking the inheritance. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and our Christ. Remember we talked about running the bases?
Mm-hmm.
They are running the bases. We are to run the bases. He says, I will send my, but we got to get out and go take it. We just can't sit around waiting on God to, you know, in our prayer closet, waiting on God to change the world before we venture out. He said, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. Notice they had to go out and encounter them.
Right.
I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. Yeah, but they had to get out and run the bases first.
Right.
I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year. It's going to take some time because the land will become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you. In other words, we got to get out there on the field of battle. Before this happens, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. That's how they had to go take it. And what I'm suggesting is we have to take the kingdom and take it out into the kingdoms of this world and take that land.
Right.
Which is universal now, not just a little postage stamp of a geographic territory over in the Middle East. That's running the bases. So, we can learn a lot. They had to go in. I mean, God had promised this. He delivered. He empowers it. He's hit the ball over the fence. Remember that? We talked about that.
Yep.
But we have to go out and run the bases. Well, here it is. Turn to the left to Numbers real quick. How are we doing on time here?
We got about 4 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. Turn to Numbers 26.
Numero 26.
Just a few more tidbits. We can learn a lot by looking at this and comparing and applying them to our economy in the New Testament time. Look at Numbers 26, 53. It says, the land to be allotted to them is an inheritance based on the number of names. That was their inheritance. Look at 32, verse 5 and through 11, where he says, if I have found favor in your eyes... They said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. In other words, they just wanted to have it given to them on a silver platter, right?
Just
Moses
bring it all
said
here.
To the Gadites and what's that word? Reubenites.
Right.
Shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Boy, how many people are just sitting around in churches all the time? Not out on the battlefield. Why were you discouraged? Why do you discourage Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly. I love that word. They have not followed me wholeheartedly. not one of the men 20 years old or more who came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb and Joshua.
Hmm.
They had to go take it.
Right.
And how many of us are not willing to go out and take our inheritance, which is the kingdoms? The great, doing the works and the greater works of Jesus. Look at Numbers 33, another quick one, just verse 53 there, for example.
Mm-hmm.
God says again, take possession of the land and settle it, for I have given you the land to possess. Well, God has done the same thing in our economy with the kingdom and the kingdoms of this world. Look at 34:29. I know I'm skipping around, but you can go read the parts I'm skipping later. These are the men. Oh, you see that list of all the men there right above it, starting in verse 19? See all the names that are listed? Verse 29 says, these are the men the Lord commanded to assign the inheritance to the Israelites in the land of Canaan. That is an honor roll right there. Turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Verse 8. God says, see, I have given you this land. Sit in your easy chair and enjoy it.
Wait a second. Is that must be the NIV. Sit in your easy chair and enjoy it.
Yeah, sit in your pew and enjoy what I've given you and, you know, sing some nice worship songs and be thankful and give a tithe to your local pastor.
Have a
and just enjoy it and let the culture go to hell to push cart because, you know, it's all going to be destroyed anyway someday. And it doesn't make any difference that we're losing 6 to 7 out of every 10 of our kids, you know, who are raised in the faith. No, he says, see, I have given you the land. Go in and take possession of it. You see, he said, go run the bases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get off your duff that the Lord swore he would give to his father. I mean, this is how God operates. It's how God has operated in the Old Testament. It's how he still operates with the inheritance we have, the kingdom, in the New Testament. Michael, we could go on and on and on. Now, I'm going to stop there since our time's about up because we got a whole bunch more to talk about this, but it looks like it's going to take more than one program to do Sonship.
Well, we'll have to do that in about 2 weeks because we're taking next week off.
No, we'll be back next week. And it's the week after that.
Right. Sorry. Okay.
It's Thanksgiving Thursday that we will not be doing a show, but we have one more Thursday before Thanksgiving Thursday. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. I just, you know, I'm losing track of time here. I'm having so much fun, John, that, you know, I just forget what week it is.
All right, that's a recap. Now, I'm going to put a little note here that this is where we stopped. The last one we did was Deuteronomy 1:8, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we got some more. And then what we want to do is we want to talk about some, okay, you know, once we get all this laid out on these two pages of action notes, and I want to encourage everybody who's listening now or listening on podcasts between now and next week, listen to this at least twice. And read the scriptures, pray about them, think about them, you know, check it out, test me on this stuff. I'm suggesting that there definitely is in scripture a difference between being a child of God and a son of God. And the sons go in and take their inheritance and possess the land. They were doing that in the Old Testament times. The inheritance for us today is the kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. We saw that in Revelation 11:15. We are to take possession. We are to do the same thing. This is even greater, and it's works that Jesus never did. But as we have seen throughout several weeks now, God's people have been commanded to do this throughout the Bible. To take dominion, to take possession. God has given it, but we still have to go take it. We can't just sit back on our haunches and start, you know, sipping wine and eating bonbons and enjoying it. We got to go take it. That's the greater works because Jesus did not do this. Now, we go take that land by doing both the works that Jesus did do and the greater works, which Jesus did not do. He did not take over any land anywhere. John 14:12, Jesus said, those who believe in me, who? Those who believe in me, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. He empowers it, just like God was empowering here with angels and forces, but they still had to go take it. And that's what we're called to do. That's how this fits into what we've been describing and discussing as the greater works than Jesus, because Jesus never did these. He said that. I didn't say that.
Alrighty, my friend. Well, I do thank you for joining us again on this Thursday afternoon, and we will see you back here next week.
God bless.
Not in 2 weeks, though. Alrighty, John. Thank you. You are tuned to listener-supported AD70.net. We're Christian radio from a slightly different point of view. We're putting sanity back into Christianity one day at a time. If you'd like to help us accomplish this goal, you can do so by going to AD70.net/support. You can make a one-time donation of any size, or you can become a regular subscriber for as little as $5 a month. And if you'd like to get a copy of this or any of our previous live broadcasts, you can do so by going to thepodcast.org. AD70.net, broadcasting live 24 hours a day, music, teaching, and so much more.